Hello and welcome to the Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we have Father Brian Pierce. Father Brian is a missionary, itinerant preacher, and lecturer based in Irving, Texas. The title of his preaching is Breaking the Chain of Violence.
A reading from the Gospel of John. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We've seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." The Gospel of the Lord. We frequently call him Doubting Thomas, but I'm not so sure that that's the best description of this man who was one of Jesus' closest followers. When Thomas heard the other disciples talking about Jesus rising from the dead, Thomas wasn't only shocked, he was scandalized. He'd been one of Jesus' closest followers. He'd witnessed his beloved teacher and Lord being beaten, tortured, and left to die on the cross. "And now you come to tell me that what I saw with my own eyes isn't true? What do you mean you've seen the Lord? So did I. Just like you, I saw his lifeless body hanging on that dead tree. They've killed our beloved teacher and Lord, and now you're trying to tell me that he's still alive? Where's your respect? Our master, our brother and teacher, Jesus, has been killed. And who in the world is circulating these irreverent, made-up stories about his being raised from the dead?" We have to remember that for 2,000 years, we who call ourselves Christians have heard this powerful story told time and time again. We're used to it. It's part of the fabric of our faith. We need these stories of struggle and obedient discipleship to help us navigate our own way on the rocky path of following Christ. Haven't we all had moments of doubt? Perhaps when a loved one has just been diagnosed with cancer or a child has died unexpectedly. Thanks to Thomas's very human struggle to understand God's will in the midst of the darkness of faith, we have this powerful post-resurrection narrative that serves as a light on our own path of faith. Thomas's hard-headedness is our blessed assurance. His doubt is a bridge that helps us to touch the risen Christ in our own lives. Every day in the cities that we live in, we hear sirens, ambulances, fire trucks racing to reach people in need. Tragedy hits when we least expect it. No one is ever really prepared for the unexpected news of a beloved one's accident or death. The image of Michelangelo's Pietà of Mary holding her dead son captures powerfully both the tragedy of unexpected news and the light of faith that is never far away. As Christians, we're comforted in the darkness of faith by anchoring ourselves on the rock of the risen Christ. There's no recipe we know for living a life without suffering and death. We who are followers of Jesus believe that death and tragedy don't have to have the final word. God speaks the final word. And the word is his Son, Jesus the Christ. The important piece that the Apostle Thomas gives us as we make our own journey of faith is that it's okay to ask questions, to doubt, to struggle with the reality of suffering and death. It's okay to cry when a loved one dies or when some tragedy hits unexpectedly. The Apostle Thomas pounded on the doors of heaven when he saw his beloved Lord hanging lifelessly on the dead tree of the cross. Who knows, maybe he was even thinking about arming a group of Jews to go and kill those who had killed Jesus. Thanks be to God, though, we know how the story unfolded. Thomas did not have to form a militia to take revenge on those who had killed their beloved friend and teacher. His years of discipleship had taught him that there is another way. Unfortunately, much of our world today still thinks that taking revenge is one of the Ten Commandments. We struggle to understand the nonviolent, merciful love that Jesus has shown us. It's his mercy and his compassion that helps us to prepare for our own face-to-face encounter with Christ. Like Thomas, we too have a need to reach out and touch Christ so that we can understand the path of nonviolent love that Jesus has come to show us. Revenge is not a commandment. Jesus himself comes to us as the vulnerable Lamb of God each day in the Eucharist. No revenge, just mercy and compassion. Jesus knew that he'd been sent in the world to show us another way, to open a door to a new way of facing violence and tragedy. Suddenly and unexpectedly, Jesus appeared in their midst. "Peace be with you," he said to those who had gathered to mourn the death of their beloved Lord. "Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and put it into my side and believe. Blessed are those who do not see and still believe."